Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
All right, good morning, everybody. It's Sports Radio 610. Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast. Seth Payne here as well. Seth, good morning, my man.
Hey, I'm happy to have you here, man. I was worried that between the flu, you not having power, everything else going on, that you might not make it today. I was half prepared to do it solo.
I
want everybody listening who has power or just is in your car somehow, whatever. Just Sean is putting in a heroic effort this morning.
Don't say that. Heroic? Anybody that has preceded me up here at the station over the course of the last 48 hours, from like Ben Gary, who's here again this morning producing because he's badass. He had once upon a time ago slept here, I think, during this stretch. I think spent Sunday night here. So anybody that slept at the radio station, as there's typically a handful of people that usually do when we have a hurricane or a tropical storm or just Armageddon hits the city of Houston once a year. Props to those guys. I haven't done a damn thing.
Yeah. No, I like calling you. I like calling people heroic because there's no better way to screw them over by just.
Oh, thanks, like, ass.
Yeah. Beyond any. No, not the first responders, not the utility workers, nobody. The actual radio host who's sitting in air conditioning with electricity. That's the true hero this morning.
Yeah.
Utility workers don't. You know what they get. They get short-shrifted, if that's the right term, because they don't, you know, obviously it's you don't necessarily think about the fact that those guys are out there working like 48-hour shifts up on power lines trying to get everything going.
You know what? That is a really good point by you, because what has it been, like a month? Has it even been a month since we had those weird, just normal thunderstorms?
Since the tornadoes?
Yeah, like the tornadoes that made all the power, you know, The power towers look like a collection of needles in a haystack, and we take those people for granted because it was out of sight, out of mind for me. Once power was restored, it's like, oh yeah, it just all went away.
Yeah.
It was fixed. They just built it, put it back up together.
That's one of those jobs though too. It's kind of like the trades, and like people are starting to realize like, oh, I can get some good training and be good in the trades and make really good coin and everything, and it's not a bad living. And if society falls apart and all of a sudden we're like, if you know how to weld something or actually fix an engine, you can do pretty well for yourself. Utility workers, same thing. You know, you need society to not fall apart, because one of the nice things about a lot of utility workers is they get a pension, so which is harder to come by these days. But yeah, like a linesman, it's a brutal job physically, but they do at least get paid for it if they do it long enough.
Yeah, I imagine. I know it's a dangerous job. Better them than me. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Dude, we got some updates to pass along to people that I will try my best to do at the top of every hour, or at least whenever we get new updates. But I figure since, and I don't know what we're starting the morning off with here at 6 o'clock, with still nearly 2 million people without power. I don't know what our audience is, but if there's one person out there that needs a little help, that wants to know information that's new, I'll give it for you. Give it to you if I possibly can. As far as trash collections today, Monday trash collection is now going to be Tuesday. Tuesday trash collections will be Wednesday. Does that make sense? Thursday, regular collection schedule will resume. So if you typically get your trash picked up on Tuesday, well, today's Tuesday. It's not going to be picked up today. It'll be picked up tomorrow. Basically, that's all you need to know.
I'll put my Scott's service out on the curb a day late. I'll figure that out.
There you go.
Who's the most trash person considered in Houston right now? I don't Scott's service. I just don't like, but I wouldn't call him trash.
The most trash person in the city of Houston right now.
Like not in the city of Houston, but outside in terms of sports.
Yeah.
Hate the most.
Text
in 713-572-4610. Who's the non-Houston athlete / coach / GM that you despise the most right now?
Can it be a player too? Player, coach, GM, just
Yeah. Just anybody in the sports world that you would consider trash.
I mean, let's get the engine turning here a little bit, right? So you mentioned Scott Service. I'll say Carlos Correa because that son of a gun, he could get hit in the wrist a billion times and he's still going to hit home runs. He's still going to
just pop off a grand slam against your high-priced reliever. That's the part there were two things about the Twins series, Sean, that hurt. Not just that grand slam, but Carlos made some vintage Carlos Correa defensive plays in that series. That one spinning blind throw to first was just immaculate.
Yeah, who did he nab on that one? I can't remember. That was a pretty good...
It wasn't Pena, was it?
I was going to say Pena.
I wouldn't have forgotten that.
I thought it was Pena, off the top of my head, but I remember watching it. I just can't remember.
I want to say it was Pena because it was somebody who was blisteringly fast. And then the other one, just who I think is maybe one of the most undervalued members of the ALCS run that the Astros have been on in the World Series run, was Christian Vasquez scoring all three times. Being involved in all three runs scored on Sunday. Vasquez, including preventing Cesar Salazar from tagging Vasquez out at home, like catcher-on-catcher violence right there. That part hurt. It hurt. And not that I'm like, oh, you gotta get it. I can't believe they ever let Vasquez go. I'm not quite there. But I like both those guys, and I remember them fondly, but I didn't like them seeing what they did to the Astros last week.
No, you're right. Vasquez seemed to be in the middle of everything, you know, that the Twins did well, or if they had anything going. You remember there was the play at first base where the low Perfido catch, you know, the guy hit it out to right field. Vasquez was already on first base, and the guy that hit the ball passed him up, and they were trying to figure out who should be at first base and if it was a catch, and then play at the plates. Vasquez just seemed to be in the middle of everything. Correa was a pain in the ass. Amy Adams stank, according to Derwin on the text line.
Oh, there's a good job, text line. See, yeah, my brain's not working yet. Good job, texter.
Yeah.
Amy Adams drunk.
Oh, no, it's Amy Adams stank. It's Amy Adams stank.
Oh, okay. That feels like it's going a little too far for me. But for the radio, for our listeners, go for it.
Yeah, that's PG on the text line when you're talking about Amy Adams, man. A few more updates set to pass along. This is just kind of wide-ranging, everything I could compile this morning before we'd come on air that people might need to know about. Boil water notices are in effect for Harris County, FWSD 45, the Southbrook Division. Harris County Mud 421, the Imperial Forest Subdivision. And then, let's see, power, people without power. Wait, still.
Did you say the...
go ahead.
I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt. Did you say the Imperial Forest Subdivision?
Yes, the Imperial Forest Subdivision.
Yeah. I didn't, all right, I'm going to...
You like that?
I'm going to put that... I'm gonna research that to talk about in a non-emergency situation. But yes, the Imperial Forest Subdivision, okay.
Still over 1.8 million people without power. But since the power outages, over a million people, 1.002 customers have had their power restored. So it's happening, just not as fast as you ever really want it to. There is a heat advisory issued for today. I think I saw it's supposed to be up to 93 with a slight, believe it or not, a slight possibility of rain. So you might actually want that to happen, given how hot it's going to be and with most people still without AC. And then one final one to pass along in terms of metro services, park and ride and the rail all suspended today. Park and ride and the rail all suspended today. Bus services start at 8 a.m. So you can still ride the bus at 8 a.m. HOV lanes on 290, 59, and 45 all closed. So any other updates I will pass along to you in terms of road hazards, power outages, mainly power being restored. Hopefully there's some of those updates over the course of the next 4 hours.
Have we seen, did you happen to see whether they suspended tolls on the toll roads or not?
Dude, I wish. You kidding me? You'd think that would have been like in big red bold letters, you know, on the...
Yeah, if we hadn't heard that announcement, then that's probably not the case.
But yeah.
That's always a...
I took tollway this morning, and I still seem to remember those lights working. And, you know, when you go under the deal. Okay. Yeah, it got my ass. It got my ass. It's good.
All right. I was maybe hoping, crossing my fingers for that one. It's nothing like just getting out and driving around once the weather clears on wide open toll roads.
I tell you what, it was very eerie. For the second time in about a month or so, you know, we had the derecho storms, I think that's what they called them, roll in a few weeks ago, 3 to 4 weeks ago. And that was the first time in my adult life that I'd actually had to, you know, traverse the city. And I got a chance to see kind of like widespread, like, crap. Holy smokes, this was kind of bad. Did it again this morning, you know, and I live, you know, in the Lake Houston area. So my route to work here typically is Beltway North, and I'll take 59 South all the way in. So from my house all the way to the Beltway, which is 5 minutes, and then Beltway to 59, which is another 5 minutes, darkness. And then 59 all the way to about Quitman, darkness. I mean, I'm talking like, oh, wow, not even the freeway lights are on. And so neighborhoods surrounding those areas of the freeway, like Aldine and everything, just completely without power. I didn't see it restored to somewhat normalcy until I hit downtown. Downtown looks pretty normal.
Yeah.
And then beyond downtown, over this way, it's pretty spotty. I'd say when you get to like 59 Kirby, that's when you kind of start to see it, you know, being a little spotty. And then there's actually a gas station with power, with gas, no wait, right across the street if you need gas. Might be a little bit of a hike for you, but 59 in Wesleyan, whatever that station is, I think it's an Exxon.
The one on the southwest corner, the bigger one?
Yeah, it's the southbound. It's southbound on 59. You know, there's like three of them. You got the Exxon, and then there's the Shell, and then there's, I don't know, that other sketch one.
But there's the one that plays classical music real loud, and it's kind of nice at 4 a.m.
That's the sketch one, the one that plays classical music. Yeah, that's. I did not go to that one, but it looked open.
Is it it's sketchy? I never felt it was sketchy. I always like it. I like the classical music.
To me, it's just kind of ominous feeling, you know, with the classical music.
Oh, really?
And,
You know why they do that? Apparently, it keeps people from loitering around for whatever reason.
See, I think it inhibits it. Like, when I go to that one, it's because I'm usually working this shift and I'm stopping by at like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. And don't know.
Yeah.
It's, you just
you're
never
going to get a certain Ella. Always a little, it's always a little harrowing. That's one of the things I like about working these hours is that at like 4 a.m., you get a true cross section of people of all walks of life. You get the people that are going to work, you get the people who are, shouldn't be on the road because they're coming home from someplace fun. You get the people that just don't sleep much in general, or living outdoors or whatever. You get everybody.
It's
you
kind of
get a feel for like, I'm out here, this is life.
It is a hodgepodge. All right, he's Seth Payne.
I might get approached by a woman. my scariest experience ever was a woman who approached me and told me she needed help. And if I could give her a ride somewhere because her husband was coming for her, like, violently. And I was like, and I think she was, I'm looking around and it was either a scam or like the woman genuinely needed help. So I like took her inside to the gas station. And meanwhile, I'm looking for this guy who's going to come shoot me because he sees me talking to his girl or whatever. Oh, and and I basically passed it off on the clerk in there, who was actually really cool about it. I felt like he had a pretty good feel for whether it was a scam or not.
Yeah.
This isn't some woman that was hanging around and everything, and he called the police for her and everything.
Yeah.
That was when I knew it wasn't a scam, was that she was cool with them calling the police.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, that guy sees a lot and is pretty used to that, I would say.
yeah. Well, she was really pretty too, and I'm kind of like, it's either a really good scam or she's genuinely in trouble.
Yeah.
And as soon as like he offered to call the police and she was cool with it, and I was like, okay, it's not a scam. And then I felt better about it.
Yeah.
But I also got the hell out of there.
Yeah. Well, good job by you, man. He's Seth Payne, Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast. Ben Gary here as well, producing. Coming up next, we'll get you set for a little Astros baseball. They'll be back in action tonight. We'll cover it next and give you any updates that we can aftermath of the hurricane. Stay there at Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast, along with Seth Payne, Ben Gary producing. Our baseball talk is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/Twitch. Sports Radio 610 welcomes you in. If you'd like to be a part of the show, you can text us 713-572-4610. Also, a reminder to hit us up on said Twitch stream and YouTube as well. You can join the chat there. If you're one of the few, the proud that has power. If you would like to be privy to an update, you have a question, hit me up and I'll take care of you during the break if possible.
Oh, and just real quick, it's T-Mobile.com/switch.
Oh, is it Switch?
So there you go. Switch, yeah. T-Mobile.com/switch.
You, sir, are
You've been following too much news about OnlyFans accounts and stuff, apparently.
I'm like, I got Twitch on the brain, you know? I got Twitch on the brain. Yeah, Switch, yeah. Twitch, yeah.
Yeah.
Slash Switch.
I know. So, yeah, that, and to anybody listening right now, Sean's really good at keeping you updated on power outages and stuff like that. And we also appreciate you just, tuning in during this. Like, what would the right word be? Everybody's discombobulated right now. Nobody's on their normal. Even if you're working, you're not on your normal schedule and in your same mode.
Yeah, that's, that is guaranteed. It's discombobulated. You can't go wrong with that one. I mean, everybody's got something at home to deal with, whether it be, you know, a little front backyard cleanup or just moving debris, even if it's just to get your car out of the driveway or out of the street, whatever the case may be. It's not normal. I'll just put it to you that way. Maybe for the city of Houston, at least once a year, it's normal in that aspect. But yeah.
You know what it is, at least at the not. I don't want to call it a silver lining or anything, but like in this day and age, there's so many. It's rare that you really get to know your neighbors all that well. It is at least it's a time where you can actually help out your neighbor a little bit, end up having a conversation you might not otherwise have. If you help the little old lady across the street get some debris out of her driveway.
Yeah, no, it is so true. Yesterday, it was so weird. You know, when the storm finally passed, I guess. In my neck of the woods, you know, the wind died down enough to where we could go outside and, you know, start kind of cleaning things up. I want to say like close to 1 o'clock, something like that. And it's generally after a storm that I see a handful of neighbors and I actually talk to them. I know pretty much everybody on my street. It's just those few. The only time they come out of the house is when bleep hits the fan and they've got to clean up or they have to be seen. Right. And so, yes, we spoke for the first time and probably now I've seen them like twice in a month because of the, you know, the wind storms that we had a few weeks ago. But prior to that, I feel like it was since Harvey or something, you know, it's like, hey, good to see you again, buddy. What was your name again? If you need anything, just holler, let me know. Picking up your fence, scabbing it up, whatever the case may be. I'm your guy, right? You know, that kind of a thing. And you just kind of get the pleasantries out of the way and you reintroduce yourself and you just kind of move it along. Now I probably won't see him again for another 6 months.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's still neighborhoods in Houston where people just kind of plant themselves and actually live there for a long time. Like, didn't Andy Pettit build a house in either his old neighborhood or his wife's old neighborhood? Like, I think he built a really nice house, like in just a standard, like the subdivision that he grew up in.
So yeah, probably, Deer Park.
It probably knows all of his neighbors.
I don't know, actually. That was years ago, and I do remember actually driving by his house whenever I was in college. I went to San Jacinto Community College, like the central campus, which is kind of like deep in Pasadena, but, you know, a hop, skip, and a jump away from Deer Park and where Andy Pettit at least used to live. And he had built like a very, you know, it wasn't very nice house, but on multiple lots in Deer Park. And everybody knew it was Andy Pettit's house. And it was like a corner lot, I believe. And It took up, had to be like at least three, maybe four lots.
He wasn't thinking about resale, right? Like, it was like, you know, they always say, like, the best thing to do in terms of resale is to have the most modest house in a really nice neighborhood.
Yeah.
You're going to get more than the house itself is worth. Whereas, like, if you build, like, the slam dunk nicest house in the neighborhood, the comps don't match up. He was just, this is where we're going to live. I always just thought it was cool because it was indicative of Andy Pettit's personality, where he's not looking to be in the limelight or anything. He doesn't need to live in a really exclusive country club. Yet at the same time, I feel like Andy Pettit is one of those people who in retirement probably doesn't want to do anything public, you know, like he's not seeking or craving that attention.
Yeah.
But you're like, you're planting yourself down as like, oh yeah, that's definitely the former professional athlete right there.
Yeah.
That's
Andy Pettit's house. It's weird.
People driving by gawking like it's a Hollywood tour.
You knew it was his house, not because of how tall it was, because it wasn't. I want to say if it was two story, it was a pretty low profile two story house, but it might have been mostly one story, but you knew it was his house because of how sprawling it was. And because it's just Deer Park. We drove through Deer Park the other day. I told my wife, this is the first time I'd been through Deer Park in, you know, maybe 15 years. And I don't even know why we went over there. It was like, I think we had to miss traffic on 146 or something. We took a side street, you know, just to kind of get through. And I was like, man, I haven't been over here in forever. And she actually mentioned that. She goes, didn't Andy Pettit used to live over here? And I'm like, yeah, he might still. I mean, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But you don't know, because that guy, since he'd stopped pitching for the Astros, had completely gone dark, right? You know, in the whole steroid thing. It was just kind of a weird deal. Yeah. And he's very much out of sight, out of mind for a lot of people.
Yeah, he's not. Like, he's the guy that I think, in terms of like how any of that might have affected his Hall of Fame candidacy or anything, like, I don't think he ever cared one bit. Like, I don't think he was a guy that planned on, you know, working the banquet circuit in retirement and all of that. Just a very understated guy. That's why he kind of actually glided through a lot of those scandals, because people were kind of like, it's Pettit. He's whatever. He was recovering from an injury. Don't worry about it.
That was the thing.
He owned up to it.
Yeah.
He owned up to it, too.
Yeah.
It was if there's one thing, now it's going to affect your Hall of Fame candidacy in any sport, except that in terms of how the public and the media treated any of those athletes, if you just fessed up to it immediately and apologized, for the most part, people were like, oh, okay, nothing to see here. Moving on.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. It was almost, he felt genuinely bad about it. So, yeah, I don't want to say he didn't receive any criticism or scorn or anything, but compared to the others, it was nothing.
Oh, definitely not compared to everybody else that was implicated. It was more of, you know, when you do something, like, you're a good kid and you do something to really upset your parents and you get the whole thing from your dad, and it's like, he's not pissed, he's not angry, he's not like wanting to rip your head off, but he's disappointed. You know, that was, people were disappointed in Andy. And they excused it like, that guy's such a great guy. He was just doing it for his teammates, trying to get back on the field. But, you know, he knows he shouldn't have done it.
You know what? I think there was something, but there wasn't like a huge physique transformation either. So I think then again, it goes back to like, people can appreciate, oh yeah, you're desperate to come back from an injury. And he was just doing to come back from an injury. He wasn't trying to go out and break records or, you know, screw up baseball in general. And he wasn't, there's no vanity involved in it or anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I remember I've talked to cops about this before, where there's times where, like, the kid that makes one mistake sometimes also is the one that gets, I don't want to say screwed over in the system more, but, like, because he comes in and he says everything. You know, he's like, yeah, I did it, and I feel awful about it and everything. But he's, like, he's confessing everything and doing all it because he feels genuinely bad about it, versus the kid that knows what he's doing when committing crimes, you know, doesn't say a word to the cops and everything, and sometimes skates through the system more so than the guy that actually just comes in and is like, I feel awful about this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it works out. You know, if you're the kid that spills the beans on everything, like, I'd been there, done that. I flew too close to the sun one time. I was a senior. I was a senior in high school. And I, as a junior, all of my friends were seniors. So when I first became a senior, all of my really good friends had were freshmen in college, and they wanted to come back and wrap the school, and kind of we had kind of a tradition to where we would wrap the school and kind of, you know, hijinks for all the kids, you know, that were going to school,
like on toilet that Monday paper morning. And stuff. Like
yeah, toilet paper, okay. And it was just sometimes it'd be pinatas and trees and just random stuff in the front yard, like so people would laugh when they'd get out of their cars and walk up to school the next morning. And so we'd done it so many years in a row, and it gotten a little out of hand that the principal and, you know, some cops, they were waiting for us to do it the night before. They had slept at the school. And so we went like around 1:30 in the morning, and we're wrapping the school. You know, we just started like a couple of minutes in, and then it was like, boom, front door shot open. Principal comes running out. Some teachers come running out. A couple of constables come running out. And they started busting people, and it's just like pandemonium. People are running into their cars and, you know, all this stuff. And I had parked way too far away to get away. I mean, I was like right there. I had the principal. It was really dark. And the principal had
basically. You're a good athlete, though, too. So you could run faster than most.
I could run fast, but I had a long way to run. And it wasn't just a straight shot. There's my car. Right. Yeah. I mean, I was so close to the front door, the principal almost ran me over as he busted out. And I'm just like in a scramble. I mean, I'm in ultimate panic. Long story short, I didn't get away. I was the guy that they asked, all right, who was here? Who was it? What were you, you know, what do you have? What'd you do? Da, da, da. I had to spill the beans on everybody because.
Did you? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You must have felt so crappy.
Oh, it was bad, man. Like, you talk about a situation, man. That next day at school, and I had to do it so my grandfather really wouldn't find out. If my grandfather had found out, like, I would have been a dead man walking. Like, oh, my God. It would have been, like, on.
This is my favorite part of, like, crime shows and everything. How quickly did you flip from in your mind thinking, I'm not going to say a thing, to, like,
what
they threaten you with? How'd they get you?
Because everybody knew my grandfather. My grandfather was a city councilman, and, you know, he was well-known. I mean, he has a library in his name, like, less than a quarter mile from my old high school. And so it was, principal was like, you don't want us to call Frank, do you? And I was like, all right, here we go. what do you want to know? And I was like, can I go home? Can you promise me I can go home tonight and everything's going to be fine? And so
did they put you in cuffs?
No, if I wouldn't have, I would have been in cuffs, and Frank would have been coming up there to the jail to get me out. And
did your grandpa find out about it anyway?
He did not find out about it. And posthumously now he has. But no,
they probably gave him the details up at you know, St. Peter was like, hey, listen, by the way,
yeah, just so you know, you might want to keep an extra eye on your grandson.
He's a crumb bum.
Yeah. So yeah, I got out of that one, but man, we had holy hell to pay, and I got some looks, man, because they were like, how'd they know it was us? Da, 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 da. Bajani must have told them. And of course, I was like, I didn't say anything. I don't know. And it's like, but I mean, it's like, come on, they know who my friends are. They know it was you, you know? And it's like, they can't prove anything. And da, 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 da. I'm like, well, just keep your mouth shut. You know, so I'm playing both sides the whole next day at school, and we had to clean up the whole thing. And it was a fiasco.
Oh, that's so stressful. Oh, you must have been so stressed. Oh, man.
Yeah. You know, it's funny.
Nobody appreciates the stress the snitch is under, you know?
Yeah.
You got to live a double life. You're wearing a wire out there while you're cleaning up the toilet paper.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. It was bad. So it wasn't a massive cleanup, but they invented things for us to clean up. I mean, they basically turned us into like the lawn service for a couple of days that weekend. And, you know, we're weed eating, lawn mowing, leaf blowing, throwing away junk, getting ready for summer, stuff like that. And so, it was we met our community service hours because they were kind enough to grant us some of those so we could graduate and get the hell out of there.
Oh, wow. That's when they decide to crack down on like the senior traditions, it's just bad luck. Wrong place, wrong.
Well, we had taken it many steps too far the year prior.
When I, you know, that happened when I was a junior in high school, there used to be a scavenger hunt, and it had always been pretty, you know, like teenage hijinks and stuff, you know, like different things you had to do, like take a lawn ornament or something. The class above me, the seniors, they were idiots. Like, they stole like 15 stop signs, which is lethal. You know, like, people die when stop signs are stolen.
Yeah.
Kids, if you're listening, if you're going to steal a traffic sign, don't steal a stop sign, because people die because of it. Yeah, and then so they crashed. That was the end of the scavenger hunt, as far as I know. I don't think there's never been another one at Victor Central High School since then.
Scavenger hunt. Who put, like, real stop signs on there? Like, we need 10 of them. Go find 10 real stop signs and bring it back here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, so just think that through, kids. You steal a stop sign, that means that somebody who goes through that intersection that's unfamiliar with it might just cruise on through and hit somebody that thinks that thinks you have a stop sign. And don't steal stop signs.
Exactly.
Never steal a stop sign.
Exactly.
Don't steal anything. Don't get me wrong, but especially don't steal stop signs.
Yes. Ultimately, we're going to bring it back full circle. Yeah. By the way, just maybe don't steal. That's a pretty good idea. He's Seth Payne, Sean Bajani at Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we'll get you the headlines in sports. And, yeah, we'll get you a little Astros updates as well. There's a couple of them. Stay there at Sports Radio 610.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, in for Sean Pendergast. I'm Sean Bajani. Seth Payne, Ben Gary here as well. Hope everybody's having a good morning. 713-572-4610. If you have any questions in regards to updates in and around your area, if you're curious about power outages, stuff like that, I know internet and all things are kind of sketchy right now. Feel free to text in, and I'll try my best during a break to answer your question, to find an answer for you, or at least to point you in the right direction. And speaking of that, that is kind of first up on our headlines today. I'll give you some updates regarding the aftermath, maybe some information you need to know or would like to know in the form of trash collection. If you were like me, you got out yesterday, you started cleaning the yard, moving stuff around, trash collections. If your trash is normally picked up today on Tuesdays, it's now going to be on Wednesday. The regular collection schedule for the city of Houston will resume on Thursday. So if your trash normally gets picked up today, it's not going to be picked up until tomorrow. And then they'll get back to the regular schedule on Thursday. So if you have a Monday trash collection, it's going to be Tuesday. If it's Tuesday, it's going to be Wednesday. Everything gets back to normal on Thursday, if that makes any sense. Boil water notices. There's a couple of locations around the Houston area that are in effect. Harris County Mud 421. Harris County FWSD 45. That's the Southbrook Division and Imperial Forest Subdivisions, respectively. You guys are under boil water notices. And still, at last check, over 1.8 million people in the Houston area without power, Seth. So we'll do our best to keep those guys updated.
Yeah, this is obviously, there's going to be in there with any technical glitches that we have in the broadcast or on the streams at any point. They are working feverishly to fix those as we move along. But everybody that's listening, stay safe and just try to stay hydrated. All right, so we have to transfer from, you know, yesterday it was stay the hell in your house. And now it's okay, you're going to be outside. Stay hydrated.
Yeah,
because it is still Houston, and it's not 100 degrees, but if it's 92 with no air conditioning, stay hydrated.
Definitely. Speaking of that, high of 93 expected today with a slight, and the emphasis is on slight, chance of rain. But because of the heat and a lot of people without AC and stuff like that, there is a heat advisory on for today. So definitely stay hydrated. Let me pass this along to Metro Services. The park and ride has been suspended for today. Bus services will be beginning at 8 a.m. this morning. So regular bus services are underway at 8 o'clock this morning. HOV lanes 290, 59, and 45 today, all closed. So if you're planning on riding the HOV, 290, 59, 45, they are closed, and I would presume that would not be an issue since I would imagine just quite a lot of people probably not going to be on the roads all to begin with today. So your normal lanes should be wide open. Just drive responsibly. And
every lane's an HOV lane today.
Yeah, every lane is an HOV lane. But please do not disregard the barricades and all that stuff. If a road is blocked, it's blocked for a reason. Up next on headlines, I did not see this yesterday. You pointed this out to me, actually, Seth. The Texans bringing back a fan favorite in Houston native. Correct me if I'm wrong. Jerry Hughes re-signing with the Houston Texans. This guy is going to be 36 in August. And I was very, very happy to hear this news because Hughes is joining a pretty stout list of Texan defensive linemen, defensive ends. Obviously, with the biggest name this offseason being added in Danielle Hunter to go along with Will Anderson, Danico Autry, and everything the Texans have kind of put together on the interior. This is turning out to be a really impressive list.
It's an impressive list. I think there's a lot. There's so many guys that are over 30 now, like well into their 30s, starting with John Weeks, who I think is going to be 38 this year. So, I like the blend of the young potential all-pro caliber guys like Will Anderson and CJ Stroud, but then mixing it in with these older guys. Where on this defensive line, they're going to rotate a lot. And, you know, Jerry Hughes has just steadily, without compiling a boatload of sacks over his career or anything, steadily provides pressure on the quarterback.
Yes.
And they also like having him in there in some of the short yardage and red zone areas. You know, he's a bigger guy that, you know, can provide a presence, a physical presence for you there. So there's a lot of different permutations and combinations they can use on the defensive line. I know everybody's worried about the defensive tackle position. They've got so many guys that can provide pass rush from all over the defensive line that from a pass rushing perspective, it's hard not to get excited about. The run defense is something that'll be they're going to have to hodgepodge it together, but they've got pass rushers all over the place.
No doubt. Hughes last year played in all 17 regular season games, started two, finished with three sacks along with 32 tackles. His first year with the Texans, he started 16 of 17 games for the 22 season, had 9 sacks, which I believe led the team, along with 35 tackles. People forget how valuable Hughes really was last year, especially towards the end of the season when Jonathan Renard and Will Anderson were banged up with ankle injuries and you were having to go with more of Magi Sanders. Jerry Hughes, along with Derek Barnett, who's also back this year for the Texans.
Derek Barnett.
I really like you. You mentioned, you know what? There's a lot of guys that are, you know, on the wrong side of 30, so to speak, and getting upwards in, the mid to latter portion of their 30s. Jerry Hughes, if he's that Iron Man, that guy that's going to play till he's freaking 40, I'm all about it because he really was a breath of fresh air when you needed it the most last season because you knew he had a veteran, a capable body to step in at a moment's notice.
Yeah, and that's I've always advocated this, Sean. This is one of the it's a dream job in sports is that if you're a good edge rusher, you can extend your career by 4 or 5 seasons as long as if you can find a team that just wants to use you minimally and, you know, most times 20, 30 snaps a game at most, that there's a market for that. And, you know, when you're rushing out on the edge, you're not taking nearly as much physical abuse. That's exactly what Jerry Hughes is right now. When I was a rookie, there was Clyde Simmons was still playing. And, like, Clyde played, like, 3 or 4 years with a snap limit of 25 snaps a game and was still really, really valuable. And it's just such a great resource to the young guys like Will Anderson because you're in that grandfather mode, you know, where you kind of can just talk to a guy about some of the non-technical stuff, too, just about calming yourself down on the sideline and between plays and all of that. Jerry Hughes is that kind of guy.
No doubt. Next up on headlines, Cam Sutton has been suspended. Former Lions and current Steelers cornerback Cameron Sutton suspended 8 games for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy, this stemming from his disturbing off-the-field incident this offseason. Seth, can you familiarize people with the off-the-field situation Cam Sutton's...
It was a domestic violence situation of some sort, and I don't think Cam Sutton doesn't necessarily move the meter as much as some of the other guys. Like Rashee Rice, I think it's what made me think about it. It just jogged my memory that we still haven't gotten a ruling on exactly what the punishment might be for Rashee Rice, the receiver from the Chiefs.
Yeah,
but this is that in this relatively dead time of sports. You're probably going to find out about Rashee Rice sometime around the Hall of Fame game or so, or before that. And that's something that's going to have ramifications, obviously, for one of the obviously best teams in the league.
Yeah, I didn't realize this. This was back in March when Sutton was allegedly involved in a domestic incident involving his girlfriend. Apparently, for weeks he evaded law enforcement, ended up turning himself in, and was originally charged with a felony.
He was on the lam?
Yeah, he was originally charged with a felony, but the charge was reduced to misdemeanor battery, then entered a pretrial diversion program to resolve the case. Schefter reported on Twitter that Sutton's suspension is final and he will not appeal. So, looks like it's going to be 8 games, and then I would imagine Roger Goodell, kind of which is typical in most of these cases, will kind of revisit the issue with Sutton. Like, not saying that he has to apply for reinstatement or anything, but I would imagine there's going to be a talking to before he's allowed to play football again.
Yeah.
Finally, up on headlines, Stros begin a 6-game homestand tonight. That'll be, again, the first of 3 with Miami. Ronel Blanco on the mound, Trevor Rogers on the hill for the Fish. Stros begin the day 2 games behind the M's in the West and 3.5 up on Texas. That's important because you see them next for 3 games before you end the first half of the season. Stros also 3.5 games behind the Boston Red Sox for the 3rd and final wild card spot. We'll talk plenty more Astros as the morning rolls along. You know, speaking of Jerry Hughes and saying you'd like a veteran body that can give you some limited snaps, and be a breath of fresh air, so to speak, if you will, provide a healthy, fresh body. Well, the Texans, they might be getting another one of those from a guy who has been doing nothing but tease and tease all off season long. J.J. Watt, the latest with him and how he broke the internet yesterday. That's next. It's Sports Radio 610.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, in for Sean Pendergast, I'm Sean Bajani. Seth Payne, Ben Gary here as well. Hope everybody's having a good morning. 713-572-4610. If you have any questions in regards to updates in and around your area, if you're curious about power outages, stuff like that, I know internet and all things are kind of sketchy right now, feel free to text in, and I'll try my best during a break to answer your question, to find an answer for you, or at least to point you in the right direction. And speaking of that, that is kind of first up on our headlines today. I'll give you some updates regarding the aftermath, maybe some information you need to know or would like to know in the form of trash collection. If you were like me, you got out yesterday, you started cleaning the yard, moving stuff around, trash collections. If your trash is normally picked up today on Tuesdays, it's now going to be on Wednesday. The regular collection schedule for the city of Houston will resume on Thursday. So if your trash normally gets picked up today, it's not going to be picked up until tomorrow. And then they'll get back to the regular schedule on Thursday. So if you have a Monday trash collection, it's going to be Tuesday. If it's Tuesday, it's going to be Wednesday. Everything gets back to normal on Thursday, if that makes any sense. Boil water notices. There's a couple of locations around the Houston area that are in effect. Harris County Mud 421, Harris County FWSD 45, that's the Southbrook Division and Imperial Forest Subdivisions, respectively. You guys are under boil water notices, and still, at last check, over 1.8 million people in the Houston area without power, Seth. So we'll do our best to keep those guys updated.
Yeah, this is obviously there's going to be in there with any technical glitches that we have in the broadcast or on the streams at any point. They are working feverishly to fix those as we move along. But everybody that's listening, stay safe and just try to stay hydrated. All right, so we have to transfer from, you know, yesterday it was stay the hell out of your, stay the hell in your house. And now it's okay, you're going to be outside. Stay hydrated.
Yeah.
Because it is still Houston, and it's not 100 degrees, but if it's 92 with no air conditioning, stay hydrated.
Definitely. Speaking of that, high of 93 expected today with a slight, and the emphasis is on slight, chance of rain. But because of the heat and a lot of people without AC and stuff like that, there is a heat advisory on for today, so definitely stay hydrated. Let me pass this along to Metro Services. The park and ride has been suspended for today. Bus services will be beginning at 8 a.m. this morning, so regular bus services are underway at 8 o'clock this morning. HOV lanes 290, 59, and 45 today, all closed. So if you're planning on riding the HOV, 290, 59, 45, they are closed, and I would presume that would not be an issue since I would imagine just quite a lot of people probably not going to be on the roads all to begin with today. So your normal lanes should be wide open. Just drive responsibly. And
every lane is an HOV lane today.
Yeah, every lane is an HOV lane, but please do not disregard the barricades and all that stuff. If a road is blocked, it's blocked for a reason. Up next on headlines, I did not see this yesterday. You pointed this out to me, actually, Seth. The Texans bringing back a fan favorite in Houston native. Correct me if I'm wrong. Jerry Hughes re-signing with the Houston Texans. This guy is going to be 36 in August. And I was very, very happy to hear this news because Hughes is joining a pretty stout list of Texan defensive linemen, defensive ends, obviously with the biggest name this offseason being added in Danielle Hunter to go along with Will Anderson, Danico Autry, and everything the Texans have kind of put together on the interior. This is turning out to be a really impressive list.
It's an impressive list. I think there's a lot. There's so many guys that are over 30 now, like well into their 30s, starting with John Weeks, who I think is going to be 38 this year. So, I like the blend of the young potential all-pro caliber guys like Will Anderson and CJ Stroud, but then mixing it in with these older guys. Where on this defensive line, they're going to rotate a lot. And, you know, Jerry Hughes has just steadily, without compiling a boatload of sacks over his career or anything, steadily provides pressure on the quarterback.
Yes.
And they also like having him in there in some of the short yardage and red zone areas. You know, he's a bigger guy that, you know, can provide a presence, a physical presence for you there. So there's a lot of different permutations and combinations they can use on the defensive line. I know everybody's worried about the defensive tackle position. They've got so many guys that can provide pass rush from all over the defensive line that from a pass rushing perspective, it's hard not to get excited about. You know, the run defense is something that'll be, they're going to have to hodgepodge it together, but they've got pass rushers all over the place.
No doubt. Hughes last year played in all 17 regular season games, started two, finished with three sacks along with 32 tackles. His first year with the Texans, he started 16 of 17 games for the 22 season, had 9 sacks, which I believe led the team, along with 35 tackles. People forget how valuable Hughes really was last year, especially towards the end of the season when Jonathan Renard and Will Anderson were banged up with ankle injuries and you were having to go with more of Magi Sanders. Jerry Hughes, along with Derek Barnett, who's also back this year for the Texans.
Derek Barnett.
I really like you. You mentioned, you know what? There's a lot of guys that are, you know, on the wrong side of 30, so to speak, and getting upwards in, you know, the mid to latter portion of their 30s. Jerry Hughes, if he's that Iron Man, that guy that's going to play till he's freaking 40, I'm all about it because he really was a breath of fresh air when you needed it the most last season because you knew he had a veteran, a capable body to step in at a moment's notice.
Yeah, and that's I've always advocated this, Sean. This is one of the, it's a dream job in sports, is that if you're a good edge rusher, you can extend your career by 4 or 5 seasons as long as you can, is if you can find a team that just wants to use you minimally, and you know, most times 20-30 snaps a game at most, that there's a market for that. And you know, when you're rushing out on the edge, you're not taking nearly as much physical abuse. That's exactly what Jerry Hughes is right now. When I was a rookie, there was Clyde Simmons was still playing, and like Clyde played like 3 or 4 years with a snap limit of 25 snaps a game and was still really, really valuable. And it's just such a great resource to the young guys like Will Anderson.
Yeah.
Because you're in that grandfather mode, you know, where you kind of can just talk to a guy about some of the non-technical stuff too, just about calming yourself down on the sideline and between plays and all of that. Jerry Hughes is that kind of guy.
No doubt. Next up on headlines, Cam Sutton has been suspended. Former Lions and current Steelers cornerback Cameron Sutton suspended 8 games for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. This stemming from his disturbing off-the-field incident this offseason. Seth, can you familiarize people with the off-the-field situation, Cam Sutton's?
It was a domestic violence situation of some sort, and I don't think Cam Sutton doesn't necessarily move the meter as much as some of the other guys. Like Rashee Rice, I think it's what made me think about it. It just jogged my memory that we still haven't gotten a ruling on exactly what the punishment might be for Rashee Rice, the receiver from the Chiefs.
Yeah,
but this is that in this relatively dead time of sports. You're probably going to find out about Rashee Rice sometime around the Hall of Fame game or so, or before that. And that's something that's going to have ramifications, obviously, for one of the obviously best teams in the league.
Yeah, I didn't realize this. This was back in March when Sutton was allegedly involved in a domestic incident involving his girlfriend. Apparently, for weeks he evaded law enforcement, ended up turning himself in, and was originally charged with a felony.
He was on the lam?
Yeah, he was originally charged with a felony, but the charge was reduced to misdemeanor battery, then entered a pretrial diversion program to resolve the case. Schefter reported on Twitter that Sutton's suspension is final and he will not appeal. So, looks like it's going to be 8 games, and then I would imagine Roger Goodell, kind of, which is typical in most of these cases, will kind of revisit the issue with Sutton. Like, not saying that he has to apply for reinstatement or anything, but I would imagine there's going to be a talking to before he's allowed to play football again.
Yeah.
Finally, up on headlines, Stros begin a 6-game homestand tonight. That'll be, again, the first of 3 with Miami. Ronel Blanco on the mound, Trevor Rogers on the hill for the Fish. Stros begin the day 2 games behind the M's in the West and 3.5 up on Texas. That's important because you see them next for 3 games before you end the first half of the season. Stros also 3.5 games behind the Boston Red Sox for the 3rd and final wild card spot. We'll talk plenty more Astros as the morning rolls along. You know, speaking of Jerry Hughes and saying you'd like a veteran body that can give you some limited snaps, and be a breath of fresh air, so to speak, if you will, provide a healthy, fresh body. Well, the Texans, they might be getting another one of those from a guy who has been doing nothing but tease and tease all offseason long. J.J. Watt, the latest with him and how he broke the internet yesterday. That's next. It's Sports Radio 610.